You're listening to the Finding Your Future in Food Systems podcast hosted by the North American Food Systems Network. The North American Food Systems Network is a professional development association for people working to strengthen local and regional food systems. In this podcast, we present different businesses and organizations across Europe working to develop food systems in their communities and across the continent. In this episode, we'll be talking about slow food with Jorit. Our goal here is to introduce organizations that you may be able to learn from and get involved with. Now let's dive in and meet our guest.
Hello, I am Jorit Kierik. I am the Executive Director of Slow Food Youth Network and part of the Board of Directors of Slow Food International. I'm originally from the Netherlands. I'm 31 years old and I grew up at a small-scale dairy farm in the eastern side of the Netherlands. At the family farm of my parents where I grew up, I realized that I love agriculture. I love how food is being produced and I love the story behind food. So in my late teens, I decided to study agriculture entrepreneurship. I went to university and really dove into the world of agriculture. And what I noticed there is that I found it rather weird that the people who produce the food for the all of us are not often rewarded for the labor that they're putting into our food, into our diets. And I was really looking for solutions in order to stop that and make sure that every, labor that's being put into diets and into our food to something that's so important for our life, that people should be truly rewarded for that. So I was looking for organizations that are working for that. I worked for a while in communication and working on digital platforms where people would join the dialogue around sustainability and then mainly around the dairy industry. And not long after, I found out about Slow Food and I was invited to be one of the 2,500 young farmers that went to the expo in Milan where Slow Food Youth Network was holding a counter protest against the World Expo in Milan. The World Expo was based or themed Feeding the Planet, but something that was really missing were actually the stakeholders that were actually feeding the planet. So Slow Food Youth Network gathered 2,500 young farmers. They brought them in from all over the world with crowdfunding, had them couch surfing in a local municipality in Milan.
Wow.
And yeah, we were really countering the status quo at the expo. And the cool thing was that for 4 days, I met so many young farmers and we worked on this collective statement, this collective letter to the world where we basically stated that we feed the planet and it's not the expo feeding the planet. That's where I got to know Slow Food and Slow Food bringing together people from all over the world, being active in over 160 countries globally with millions of activists is something very, very inspiring for me. And it made me join the movement. And that's being eight years ago now. I went relatively quick through the process of being a volunteer in a local community to joining the national office of Slow Food Youth Network in the Netherlands, where not much later after joining them as their director, I founded the International Slow Food Youth Network office, which aims to coordinate all our local communities in order to have the most impact on the food system that we're all part of.
Yeah.
That's a bit about me in short.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you. So could you now talk about what is Slow Food? And then under that, what is Slow Food Youth
Absolutely.
Network?
Absolutely. So Slow Food is a global grassroots organization, which is founded approximately 30 years ago by a journalist called Carlo Petrini. It was founded in Italy, and it was a counter-reaction to actually the first McDonald's coming to Italy. As you might know, is very famous for its rich food culture with different plates dominating the kitchens all over the country, and they are different in all of the countries. And when McDonald's came, it was a sign of unification. It was a sign where there would be a restaurant coming to town which would serve a product which would taste exactly the same as it would taste in another part of the world. And that was something that Carlo regretted. He was so proud of the kitchen, and he was so proud of the rich culture behind products at the plate, that he basically started campaigning against this opening. He started sharing pastas in front of the Spanish Steps in Rome. And people actually liked the idea of thinking about culture. So not much after that, in Paris, Slow Food was being founded in order to really prevent the disappearance of local food cultures and traditions and counteract the rise of fast life and combat people's dwindling interest in the food they eat. And now you could consider Slow Food as a movement that works for a good, clean and fair food system for all, in which good means that food should be healthy, it should be tasty, it should be nutritious. Clean means that food should be produced in a way that it's not harming the environment. It should be clean for your body. And when you work, for example, with animals in the food chain, that you treat them with maximum respect, that you make sure that they are living in ways that they would do in their natural behavior. And fair means that food should be accessible for everybody, that it should be affordable for everybody, but also that the producer who produces the food is being paid a fair salary for the labor he's putting into the production of food. So Slow Food is active in over 160 countries, uniting over a million of people together, really working towards this more sustainable food system. And as part of that, there is the Slow Food Youth Network, which is a thematic network within the wider Slow Food family. And Slow Food Youth Network basically has the same goals in order to make the food system more sustainable, but does this by organizing campaigns and projects which really bring together youth in between 18 and 32 years old, again from all over the food chain, in order to shape their vision on the future of food. And also utilizing their momentum in life, a very important phase in your life, where you're basically moving from high school, from college to university, and to your first job, to your career as a young professional. And we really try to empower youth to not only make the right decisions, but also to make the most possible impact within your own reality.
Wow, thank you. So what type of work can you see Slow Food and Slow Food Youth Network doing? You mentioned there's a lot of campaigning, but what kind of other work is being done within that space to kind of advance the food system?
So Slow Food is when I speak about Slow Food or Slow Food Youth Network, it's important to realize that again, we're one family. So we work mm-hmm. with one strategy, just the target group might be a bit different. But in order to realize change, we basically focus on three pillars, which are the protection and enhancement of biodiversity, which is the education of consumers, of professionals, and really just educating people in order to do better. And at last, it is advocacy, in which we try to advocate for sustainable food systems to public entities, but also private companies, in order to create a change within their policies, in order to make the food system more sustainable. We have different projects within those pillars. I don't know if you would like for me to dive in there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. So for biodiversity, for example, what we do is bring people together around our Gardens in Africa project. We have a project called 10,000 Gardens in Africa, where we promote the development of agroecological gardens in the continent of Africa, where we gather local biodiversity and educate the local society about the value of biodiversity, the value about agroecological practices, in order to do better on your own. We also promote local farmers in order to preserve the local biodiversity, to produce local products and products that are native to your own reality. So something that you see in our current time of age is that's basically everything all over the world is being standardized, where you can find one type of grain or one type of potato that's the same in the United States or in Europe or in Africa or Latin America. And this is something that we feel that is a waste, because your local product is basically adapted to your local reality. It's adapted to your local climate and also adapted to your local needs on from a nutrient level, but also how the ecosystem functions. So we try to promote farmers to produce these native products. But in order to make sure that they can actually do that, we try to eat it to save it. We work with chefs and professionals in order to utilize these local products in their kitchens. We make sure that the products that are being produced by local farmers are also being found in the local kitchens of restaurants, that local chefs are utilizing that, and product developers are integrating these local biodiverse varieties into the products that they're developing in order to give them more space. So this is part of what we do across biodiversity. When we speak about education, we work a lot on education within schools. We work a lot on campaigns which enhances information and knowledge on the impact of your diet. So, for example, how to eat with less impact on the climate. And that's really based on a consumer level. And when you then look into a professional level, we work on a variety of educational programs and capacity building workshops, where we gather groups of professionals in order to develop their knowledge. And one project that I would specifically like to highlight is the Slow Food Youth Network Academy, which is a project that has been started approximately 15 years ago in the Netherlands, and has the goal to bring together 25 people from all throughout the food system, from all throughout the countries, and from an age range in between, again, 18 and 32 years old. We bring them together and we put them on a journey that takes half a year, in which they dive into different steps of the food chain, in which they dive into the reality of, for example, the dairy industry or the world of fisheries or even the healthcare sector, in order to fully understand what actually the status quo is. But also we try to show them what alternatives are. And we don't go there and say like, okay, so this is Slow Food's mission and this is our opinion on that. But we really just want to show the group of people, which again differs from a young farmer to a marketeer at a big entity to a product developer or a wine sommelier. It can be anyone, as long as it's they're not overlapping with their skills and with their background. And we literally take them on this journey, and by going collectively on this journey, we make sure that they are figuring out what their own values about the food system are. We are not interested in educating and saying these groups of people like, okay, this, you should farm like this, or you should eat this specific kind of fish. And that's based around the fact that we have a more holistic perception of what the food system should be looking like. And that for every individual professional, that might look a bit different. But together, you create this group of people, this group of future food leaders, which are defining their vision collectively. And in 5 years from now, they will be in the boardrooms. They will be making a career and defining where their reality is going. So we really try to make sure that by educating youth in a relatively early stage of their professional career, they're able to make the biggest impact once they brew through. At last, something that might be interesting is our advocacy work. So we do have an advocacy office that works on different levels. So we work on an international level within the system of the United Nations. Then we work in Europe, mainly in Brussels, on the European reality, which basically unites all the European countries in order to define legislation around the world of food. And we work on both national and local levels in order to change food policies, to change food environments, in order to do the best possible. And for that, we really engage and mobilize a world movement in order to stress the importance of sustainable food, of good food policies, and let's say a common food policy in order to make our planet more sustainable.
Well, it sounds like Slow Food is just, it has their hands everywhere and is doing a lot of incredible work in so many different areas in respect to food. The Academy, I was curious, you mentioned, well, we were talking about the Academy that Slow Food has, and I was wondering, for those people that are interested in maybe attending the Academy, do they have to have a background in food prior to the program, or is it open to anyone?
That's a very good question. So the fun thing about the Academy is that it's really open to everybody. So everybody who's interested in the food system can theoretically join the Academy. The issue, of course, is that there are limited spaces available. So there is, it's very important to realize that every swing community that organizes a local Academy, which currently happens in, for example, the Netherlands, in Germany, but also in Korea, Uganda, in Mexico, in Brazil, and hopefully also very soon in the United States. We're really working on creating this group that collectively can make the most impact. So we don't believe that's just farmers that can make a change, or just policymakers, or just caterers, or just marketeers. It's really about creating that the network of different people, where specifically people from outside the food system can play a massive role, where specifically people and creatives which are not so much involved within the food system can really open up visions into new directions. So we're definitely open in order to fully engage them within the Academy program. Absolutely.
Awesome. I'll have to take a look at that. I wanted to talk about education a little bit more. And so you mentioned that Slow Food does a lot of education work and it plays a huge role in Slow Food's mission. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the impact of education in the community and kind of how do you measure it?
Well, I think this really depends on where you're educating. When you, for example, look into primary schools, you see that children currently have less and less knowledge about where their food is coming from. And this results this manifests in different ways. So, for example, you can see that children with less knowledge of food are having less healthy eating habits. They are more prone to suffer from, wealth-related issues like obesity. They have less, their results in school are often lower than people who are, than children who are having good diets. So one of the things that I've been working on in the past is a campaign that promotes food education for every child in primary schools. And this is really to overcome the knowledge gap that's currently there within a new generation of children growing up and literally being so distanced from the food system. They are able to manifest and highlight who is playing in their favorite football team, or they can highlight what this new app on your iPhone can do, but they cannot recognize the difference between a carrot and a potato, or know how it's being produced, or where a fish is coming from. And by educating them, you can really see that their knowledge is going up, but that they're also more interested in what their diet is like. As a positive result, you also see that the parents of these children, they're actually being triggered in order to think more about the food that they're serving in their homes, and that they're triggered in order to serve more healthy, more local, and more sustainable food to their families. So this is one part of a really concrete result of education. When you look into professionals, and if you look into people like you and me who would like to make a change within the food system and are active within your own reality, we're often kind of blindfolded by impact that we could potentially have. So one of the results of, for example, our academy are often collaborations between different parts and links in the food chain, in which, for example, marketeers of big soda manufacturers are decreasing their sugar content in their drinks. You can see that people are working in restaurants in high traffic locations, or they are changing their offerings in order to have more locally produced foods available, that they're reducing salt, fats, and sugars within their restaurants, but above all, that they make the more healthy choice more applicable or more accessible. And at last, we really try to have the people from our educational programs really apply their knowledge in their daily life. And that can be, again, from something very small of changing your shopping habits and maybe buy something a little bit more sustainable, to something that really changes the reality of multiple people, of the people who shop in the shop that you manage, or the people who are drinking the product that you are producing for them. So right. Yeah, we all have a responsibility, but often we're not really much aware about how much impact we can actually have and how much better we can actually make this world.
Yeah. So speaking of that, kind of leads me to my next question. So you're saying how we should change our personal habits. I know a lot of people kind of, they're thinking, oh, my one decision at the store isn't going to create change. And that's something that I feel like resonates with a lot of people, and they feel not unmotivated, but you know, it is something that stops them from maybe picking a better apple that is local to them or something like that. What would you say to someone who feels, you know, like there needs to be more higher policy changes instead of them taking individual action?
Well, I'll be the first to admit that there needs higher policy action,
yes,
in order
absolutely.
To change
yeah.
our world, to change our ecosystem. But
for sure.
Something that I really realize, and that a lot of people are understanding, is that especially when you feel helpless, it's very important to see that every single decision you take is having an impact on the world. That one apple that you might buy from a local farmer might promote him in order to promote more of it. And not so much because
right.
You're the person asking for its apples, but you're creating an ecosystem of demand for producers who do better. We often say that we're working towards giants, but literally we are with millions, and we really
yeah.
are capable of making this change collectively. So when we decide not to throw away our food after a meal, mm-hmm. when we have leftovers, when you do that by your own, you might have a very, very small impact. But mm-hmm. when we do a campaign, for example, around food waste, and we unite thousands and thousands and thousands of people doing the exact same thing with zero effort, literally, we are saving truckloads of food waste. We are promoting so many good products, and we are promoting so many best practices among our movement and among our individual reality. And it is always very important to realize that we are not alone in this fight. And it
yeah.
is you thinking about how your own reality can maybe make an impact on the world. But it's often the small things that actually make a change. It's the small conversations
yeah.
you could have with a local farmer. It's the small demands you can that you can make towards the place where you shop. It can be the lunchbox you bring to work, which sparks a conversation about a more sustainable food system. It can be the plastic bag that you refuse when you buy something, and you bring your cotton back in order to do something
right.
more impactful. And it's really about all these actions that accumulate into a bigger wave of change.
Yeah, every little thing counts.
Exactly.
Going back to education again, you mentioned that you were working on a program for younger students at school. I was curious to know if it's in Slow Food's kind of like maybe 5-year plan or goal is to have a standard curriculum that is incorporated in all schools to learn about food. Because I know, I mean, school was a time ago, but I'm trying to remember, I definitely didn't learn anything about food. And it's so important. And you're right, there's so many kids now that don't know the difference between different vegetables or where they come from. Do you think in the future that might be something that exists within schools?
Well, I think if we really want to change the world, and if we really are looking into a sustainable future, we have to start with the future. And education
yeah.
is one of the main pillars of the work that Slow Food is carrying out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we are continuously working on creating this curriculum. to create these programs that help individual activists in order to implement these tools at the local level, because it's very important to realize that we are not a top-down organization. We're a grassroots network of millions of activists on a global level. We unite in local communities in order to make a change. And our coordination, which is centralized from Italy, but also from different national realities. In the US, we have an office, is allowing our local network in order to make a change. So yes, we are working for guidelines for education, but we cannot make a universal curriculum that is the same for everything. And that right. comes back to the diversity of our food system. Something that's sustainable in Italy or sustainable in the Netherlands might not be sustainable mm-hmm. in the United States or in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that we really work together with our local activists in order to transform our slow food philosophy into the local reality. And like that, we support and we create the tools for our local networks, but we will never create an international curriculum for children, which goes right. into depth on specific issues within the food system and specific products. But what we do offer, and this is also something that you can already find, for example, on our in our resources, are specific guidelines for educators that they can utilize within their within their school packages in their education. And on the long term, we would love to work more together with local realities, with local governments, mm-hmm. in order to make sure that food education is implemented within every single curriculum, that every single person who goes to school learns about the value of food and how that impacts the wider environment and ecosystem.
Yeah. And do you see that being realistic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, Slow Food is working with so many different people. We're working with people from all throughout the food chain. So we also unite policymakers. We're also uniting educators. And in fact, when you speak about educators, we have a professionals network within our movement that gathers on a monthly basis in order to exchange best practices on an education level, to share projects, to share tools in order to do better. And like that, on the long term, we're definitely able to facilitate this kind of educational practices.
That's amazing. And so for our listeners, if anyone is interested in getting involved with Slow Food, how can someone get involved, whether that's local chapters, volunteering or employment or internships? What does that look like if someone is interested in getting involved with Slow Food and maybe it's not super hands-on, but how can someone support you?
So I would definitely have a look at our social media, either from Slow Food or from Slow Food Youth Network. And from there, you can see what we're currently working on. So is there a campaign running on an international level that you can participate in as an individual? Or is there something that you can learn about, a toolkit that you can follow? From a local perspective, you can always look if there is a local chapter, local community close to your reality. And it's most likely the case, since we're active in so many countries and so many realities, there's often a local community with you. In case you don't have one, feel free to interact also on an international level. We do our best we can in order to create an international community which meets regularly, but also which has all the content in order to develop your personal journey into a more sustainable food system. And one of the easiest thing that I can suggest you doing is having a look at Slow Food, the podcast, which is our own podcast in which we really take you by the hand in order to learn more about the slow lifestyle, which really educates you on how to live more sustainable within the world of within the context of food systems. And based on that, that could be your first step into your slow food journey. And based on that, you can also follow up with our community hangouts, with our international hangouts. You can join one of our online Telegram or WhatsApp groups, really to start engaging with people who are on a similar journey in order to learn the most make the most of your learning journey. But above all, to really engage with each other and feel part of a wider movement that's really active on a global level. And again, then when you look into to impact, it's very nice that you can be in touch with the person who produces the coffee that you drink in the morning, or that you can get in touch with the baker that saves a certain grain in order to protect a certain culinary heritage of a certain area. And it's beautiful to bring these people together and also discover them within the network.
Yeah. And you mentioned the toolkit. Could you kind of go into what that toolkit is? Is that for anyone to kind of utilize and use, or is it directed towards certain groups?
So we have a variety of toolkits on our website. But the first thing that you could go to is, get to our social media and find the latest toolkits in the link in bio there. That will always be updated. Also on our website, you will definitely find those. Toolkits are there for everyone, varying from individuals who want to make a change to communities that want to set up different projects. And once you're part of a wider community, it's also easier to reach out to our local coordinators, which are supporting you on your journey in order to create a change on a local level with your local peers, and which can also facilitate you in getting the right content to you in order to make your journey a bit easier.
And so next question is, what advice would you give to someone that is transitioning to a food systems career or is looking to further develop their career? Do you have any advice on why they should work in food systems?
Yeah, so something that is often underestimated is that our food system plays a massive role in the challenges that our generation is currently facing. If you look into the amount of greenhouse gases that our food system is producing, this equals approximately 40% of the total number, which is a massive impact. But at the same time, there are so many issues within our food system that are relatively easy to change. You realize that over a third of our food on a global level is being wasted. And this is being produced for absolutely no reason. Wow. It's nuts. And these are things that we can solve. If you look into the amount of animal proteins that we're consuming on a global level, literally drowning the resources that our Earth has to offer, there's so many things that you can address within the food system in order to save this planet. And from that perspective, I would really like to stress that the food system is not the problem. It's literally the opportunity to make a change and solve the issues of our generation. And I would really invite everyone to get involved within green jobs, but above all, not simply looking for the easiest place to get started, but wherever you start, be critical on what impact you're having. How are you influencing the wider food system? And how is that impacting potential consumers or people who are related in the food chain you're active in? And once you're there, try to do better, try to make an impact. And like that, changing the food system has never been easier, has never been more fun, because the impact can be enormous and it reaches all over the world.
Wow.
I would mainly like to share that it is important for everybody to know that everyone has a choice to make a change within the food system. You can have a hobby where you try to do something good, or where you enjoy nature, but literally everybody on this planet needs to eat to survive. And in order to utilize that necessity of eating, of consuming, in order to do better, is something beautiful. It is something that opens so many doors, and it's something that really gives us the opportunity to utilize our being in order to make a positive impact on this world. So I would invite everyone to vote with your fork. You're eating at least 3 times a day, and often we're eating more.
Yeah.
And every single choice that you make is making a difference somewhere else in the food chain. And it's not to be underestimated how every single small decision that you take is changing someone else's reality. So start with that. And from there, also move to start conversations with your friends. And these doesn't have to be these depressed conversations about how our planet is suffering and the challenges that we're facing. But above all, how beautiful the journey of food can be in order to be this solution. So I really invite you to read into some articles on sustainable food production and find your values and find your passion within the food system, because you're connected to it anyway. And based on that, once you really want to get in, get more engaged, join a local slow food community, join a local event, follow our online channels and get involved in the conversation, because like that, we create a global wave of change and a global wave that is truly transforming the food system.
One last question to that then. You mentioned voting with your fork. If someone is unfamiliar with, you know, that term, and they're at the grocery store and they have no idea what voting with your fork means, how would someone get started in knowing what products they should look into, or how does someone vote with their fork?
Well, voting with your fork is a very easy principle, and it really comes down to being critical to what you're consuming. I think it's very important to not get lazy when it's about the food system. So once you buy something, ask yourself where is this coming from. If you have two kinds of, let's say, apples, have a look where they are from. How are they being produced? Are they conventionally produced? Are they organically produced? Maybe they are agroecologically produced. There's a lot of terms going on around there, and I can imagine there's a lot of uncertainty about that. But read into the teams. It's not always that more sustainable is more expensive. In fact, when you start looking into the issues, and when you really start voting with your fork, you will realize that the things you will actually vote for are more plant-based foods, less single-use plastics, less kilometers or miles that a product have been traveled in order to reach you, seasonal foods. And if you follow these kind of parameters and you figure, is this food in season right now in my reality? If it is, eat it, then it's good. You should promote it and you should utilize that crop and that harvest. If it's not, wait until it's local and getting in season in your area. Does this then mean that you cannot buy coffee anymore, or you cannot consume bananas anymore because they don't grow in your reality? No, absolutely not. But in case you buy those products that are absolutely not native to your area, make sure that at least they're being produced while taking care of the environment, while taking care of the producer, and that the producer of that product or the local ecosystem of that product is not being harmed by you consuming it. Like that, there's a lot of change that you can make, and it's actually easier than you'll think. And you also realize that it might cost you a bit more effort to kind of understand, okay, this is in season right now than this, or maybe it's more difficult to bring your cotton back to the market in order to prevent the usage of plastics. But after a while, you get into the rhythm, and you also realize that the amount of plastic that you're saving, the amount of animal proteins that you've left aside, the amount of collective impact that you have made. And when you then look into the financial aspect of it, you will often also see that it's even cheaper to eat sustainable, that it's cheaper to eat according to the season, to eat local, and cut the middleman out, to buy directly from farmers markets, to buy directly from your local producers. And once you're there, also ask the questions about how is this being produced? What are your struggles this year? Is there enough rain? And if there's anything that relates to your profession, try to do something about it. Try to utilize your circle of influence in order to make a change. And that brings us back to voting with your fork, because it's all about the decisions that you make. And we make a lot of decisions every day. And every single one of them has the potential to, have a huge impact.
Amazing. I feel inspired to go now and research all the foods around me.
Sure. I'm very happy to hear.
Well, that's our episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Finding Your Future in Food Systems podcast. And thank you so much, Yarit, for sharing more information about Slow Food. Be sure to check them out on Instagram and follow them online. You can find us at foodsystemsnetwork.org, where you can find all of our social channels. If you're interested in being featured on the podcast or know an organization that would be, please feel free to email us at kim@foodsystemnetwork.org. And I'd like to give a special thank you to the composer of our intro and outro music, Bill Vincent. And thanks again for listening, and see you next time.